Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Hawaii may be on the verge of creating an exclusive travel bubble with Japan. And while there won't be Burning Man in the desert at the end of this month, Burning Man fans can be proud of a recent BLM report about last year's event. Details coming up next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment, we tell you what you should never do when booking your vacation rental. And Gwen Duncan reports cruise lines are really dragging their feet on refunds for canceled cruises.
At 3:35, our friend travel writer and advocate Ed Perkins joins us to talk about when and how travel resumes. Ed applies his experience to the current dilemma and suggests what might happen next.
And before we go, I'll turn the tables on Mark a bit. He's a tour operator, as you may know. And this has to be one of the most challenging times ever for him and his company. Let's find out how he is navigating the COVID crisis as the owner of a tour company. That's coming up at 3:50.
It's difficult to travel right now. Spend the next 55 minutes with us, learn about what comes next, and maybe dream a travel dream or two. Welcome aboard. You don't need a mask to enjoy the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are once again. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys Not Traveling. Thank you so much for joining us. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we are your hosts, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, you know, this is almost like being back in the studio back in the good old days. We've got Giants baseball on.
I was just going to say, I'd really like to do this show with you. Now, but the Giants have scored three runs and tied the game up in the bottom of the sixth inning. So this will probably cost us about 30 listeners off the audience. But I really think I should go and watch the ball game because there's only 60 of them this year. You know, after today there'll only be 50 left. So
I guess we could turn it over to Luis. You know, so for those that are Sacramento Kings fans, Sacramento's game just started in Orlando.
Oh wow!
Game two of their. They're in the bubble.
I think when you're on the air in media, you're not supposed to tell people about other things that are on the air in media, so that they go there and you lose. But we have a podcast, so you know you can kind of have your cake and eat it too here. And if you're a baseball or a basketball or even a hockey fan, you know you're mainlining right now. You've got to get the good stuff and inject it immediately because the season is going to be over before you know it. It might be over tomorrow if.
The wonderful thing about it is that you have the ability to listen to the Travel Guys and, you know, turn your TV down and you can watch either one of the games and listen to the Travel Guys. And for those that aren't available, mm-hmm. like Mark just did, we can give you sports updates. Thank you for joining us, Mark. It's been a week and a few new things in the travel news. I guess maybe we should just get to it. What do you say?
I'm all for it. Let's go for the travel news.
All right. With that being said, as always, the top of every Travel Guys radio show is the travel news. Go for it, Mark.
Yes. Creatively introduced to you by Huey Lewis and the news. Wish I could take credit for that, but Tom thought of that long, long, long time ago. Back in the 1920s when we were still broadcasting on... Oh, never mind. In the travel news here, let's see, what do we got? They're really having a hard time in Hawaii. They're concerned about people coming over there and infecting people. And, you know, they opened up inner island travel, which was shut down for a while. And a lot of folks who live in Hawaii, they have relatives on other islands, you know, friends on other islands. Some people don't travel to other islands. Some people travel there all the time.
There may be even people that work on other islands, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Or whose jobs take them to more than one island. If you're a state worker, all those islands are in the state. So you might have a job that requires you to do inspections or something like that, and you'd have to hop around. Anyway, as soon as they put the inter-island flights back on. The virus started to spread on the islands again, and this is with virtually no tourists at all. So this has been a concern for them, and they're trying to figure out a way, you know, that you can get there and they know that you're COVID-free. Well, the best way to do that is to be able to have a test as close to departure as possible, preferably within like 48 hours, and you get the results and you know you're good. And maybe you have another test when you get there, and that's an immediate test, and it comes back maybe while you're at the airport and says, hey, you know, you're good to go, and you're safe, and now we know that the people who are wandering around the island are not infecting each other. So they're looking at Japan because Japan's COVID situation has improved dramatically. Keep an eye on this. If you have a vacation scheduled for Hawaii, a timeshare, something like that for the fall, this is going to be an interesting situation. United Airlines has announced that they are putting some flights back onto Hawaii effective the 1st of September. So they obviously think that the amount of travel is going to pick up. I can't imagine how desperate some of the people over there in Hawaii might be for tourists, because after all, it's a little over 50% of their economy. Big story over the last few weeks has been face masks on airplanes. The White House has said no to an airline face mask mandate. The airlines are kind of acting on their own. Delta Airlines has been out in front quite a bit. Before we talk about what happened on a Delta Airlines flight this week, let's hear from the Delta Airlines CEO and what he says about masks on Delta Airlines planes.
Well, we've been requiring masks since the 1st of May, and we've been steadily and rather aggressively stepping up our enforcement of the mask policy. You cannot board a Delta plane unless you have a mask on. If you board the plane and you insist that not wearing your mask, we will insist that you don't fly Delta into the future. We already have over 100 people we put on that list. We implemented a new procedure this week because we've had some customers indicate that they have underlying conditions that makes wearing a mask dangerous for them. We've told them that you may not want to fly to reconsider whether air travel is the right form of transportation. But if they do decide to, they want to continue to fly, we have a screening process with the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center and StatMD, where the customer will talk to the doctor before they get on the plane to actually have it validated that they indeed cannot wear a mask.
So there you go. Delta Airlines had a flight that was in the air on its way to Atlanta this week when a couple of passengers refused to put their masks back on. Delta turned the plane around and went back to Detroit and took the people off. So if you are a person for whom masks is an issue, my recommendation to you is that not only can you pretty much not get on an airplane, but at this point, almost every major airport in the country is requiring that you have a mask on when you walk through the door. So if this is an issue for you, be forewarned that you may be running into a bad situation. And the other thing is, why would you, Tom, want to be a person? I mean, if this is really an issue for you, and I understand I don't like masks. I understand why we're wearing them, and I'm willing to wear one, but they're uncomfortable for me. And it's not preferable on any level. So I understand why some people are saying, I don't want to do this. But if you're just doing it to be belligerent, realize that you're going to be belligerent and impact hundreds of other people. You know, if you cause a scene at the airport and you delay a flight early in the morning, you could impact 1,000 people over the course of the day. So if that's your goal, why then this is a great way to do it. But if it isn't your goal to be a turd in front of, you know, the whole rest of the world, you might just want to step back a little bit and, you know, make your social statement somewhere else.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you've said it all. I have nothing to say. I ride on. I agree.
Good news for those of you who want to ride on high-speed rail. It might not happen in the Sacramento Valley from San Francisco to Los Angeles through the valley, but there is another high-speed rail project in the works from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. And since that one involves people spending money on the other end, I'm going to put my money on that one. Anyway, this Nevada's Board of Finance has approved a $200 million bond allocation to help connect Southern California with Los Angeles. So we'll see who gets there first. It's good to take the kids to wonderful places like Disney World and stuff like that, but here's a not-so-good story. Mom caught with guns and marijuana in diaper bag at Disney World. Sunblock check, diapers check, baby wipes check. Guns, marijuana, check. A Delta mother was arrested at Walt Disney World while trying to enter Epcot. She was arrested and faces misdemeanor counts of carrying a concealed weapon and marijuana possession. I guess she was confused as to whether she wanted to shoot up the place or just get high and have sit in the weeds and watch Disney all day. But anyways, when a World of Disney employee inspected her bag, they found a 9mm handgun, a plastic bag of marijuana in plain view, and a second weapon, a 45 caliber handgun, on the bottom of the bag. You know what? If the kids won't behave, why then, you just say, look, children, here's what we're going to have to do. United States is, U.S. travel is behind something. We talk about something called the STEP program from time to time here, which is about registering when you're traveling internationally. This is a new acronym for STEP. They're trying to save some of the convention and visitors bureaus and the like around the country who have really been hit by financially by the COVID thing. Guess what, folks? Conventions and things bring a lot of money to town. If there isn't someone, those don't happen by accident. If someone isn't out there selling your city and competing with other cities, you get less convention business, you get less revenue and less income, and that infects your, it impacts your economy. So it would do well if we could get those folks back in business as soon as possible, because they mean money in the cash register down the road. So U.S. Travel is backing a bill that would establish a new grant program to support recovery in tourism in the meetings, events, and trade show sectors. And finally, here's kind of a cool story about Burning Man. Tom, you know, folks go out in the desert every year and have for a long time. I have some good friends. We've had people every year for the last several years on the program around Burning Man time to talk about it both as a functioning community and as an event. There will be no Burning Man this year because of the COVID situation. This is where Burning Man, for those of you who don't know, a bunch of folks go out into the desert in the middle of picking nowhere and create an entire city for a week and function and are a community. And it's a really, really, I've only been there once and it was only for part of a day. It's a really unique place. Anyway, they lay out this huge city. It looks almost like a baseball stadium. It's that big. It's got that many quadrants and streets and addresses and things like that. So last year in 2019, the Bureau of Land Management got very upset at the Burning Man people. They said, or 2018, excuse me, you've left this place a mess. And this is not what you promised about leaving no trace in the desert and stuff. So this is not working for us. So last year when they cleaned up, they made a huge, gargantuan effort with a lot of people to really clean up the place. And you can see from high-resolution maps and from this story that was online, the BLM's inspection this year found almost nothing. In some of the high-trafficked areas, they found some little bits of things that were obviously rubbish and stuff. But really, the folks went out into the desert and literally made it look like they had never been there.
Wow. They found a few sequins, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the philosophy when we talk to those that are part of it. They wrote it down. This is what we are going to do.
Yeah.
This is what it's supposed to be about. The creativity of the different people and the sharing. And then, of course, not affecting the land and the landscape by taking with you everything you came with. So I'm glad to see they're getting back to that, and congratulations.
Well, and the final report of the map, which basically, like I says, looks like a baseball stadium sort of layout, and they grade it on a green, yellow, red basis of what the cleanup was. And what you're seeing on this map is about 99.5% green. And like I said, in some very high trafficked areas, there's just a few little red and yellow spots at intersections and places where probably a lot of people went, and maybe the cleanup was only 99%. But anyway, the point of rambling about this for a couple minutes is really to congratulate the people who are a part of Burning Man every year. Folks laugh and say, you know, these crazy people go out in the desert and live for a week. And if you've never been there and you don't understand it, fine. But this is something that the folks who participate in it and who go every year are really proud of. And I think they should be really proud of the fact that they cleaned up after themselves so well that the folks who had complained about them last year came around and said, wow, you guys really did a terrific job. Congratulations. So that doesn't happen very often. The Bureau of Land Management and the Burning Man folks have been at each other's throats for a number of years now. So to have a situation like that, I think is really something pretty darn cool. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along, by the way, at travelguysradio.com. Links to our guests can be found there, as well as lots of other cool stuff to make you a smarter traveler and entertain. All right, coming up after a short break, we're going to talk about what never to do when booking your vacation rental. And Gwen Duncan joins us. We're going to once again see how things are going with getting those refunds out of the hands of those cruise lines that are not cruising these days. That's next on The Travel Guy. Hey there.
Oh, goodness.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I misspoke, and it just goes to show how, you know, how our people are. I mentioned that Gwen was going to be joining us based on the headlines that I gave earlier, but I misunderstood. Mark had a report from Gwen. But Gwen, being the travel girl that she is, immediately called into the studio saying, am I on? Am I going to be on?
Oh, my God. I'm supposed to be on the radio. How good is that? She was ready to go.
Yes.
So if I had a little more time in this segment, why, I would get her on anyway. But thank you, Gwen, for picking up Tom's little tiny ear there and still calling in. We could try that in the middle of the night sometime.
Man, really organized show, aren't we? Okay, you go.
Okay. This is about folks who like to rent, who do vacation rentals. And really and truly, vacation rentals can kind of fit into two categories. There's the vacation rental that you do for a weekend or maybe a week. Perhaps it's 2 weeks. You might even be, you know, for a month someplace. But then there's people who are looking for a long-term rental. I mean, maybe they're going to a city and they know they're going to be there for a year or for 3 or 4 months on business or something like that. And that falls into a different category. Many cities categorize those types of stays differently and impose different types of rules on homeowners and stuff like that. So that's the first thing to remember, is that when you're out there in the market looking for a vacation rental and someone pops up and offers you a long-term rental, that would be the first red light to go on. Here's what happens. You go TripAdvisor.com, and you log on, and your computer screen comes up. And before the actual TripAdvisor website, there are 3 or 4 or 5 people who have purchased ads to be located on top of TripAdvisor. And they're trying to steer you to certain places. And they may something like, get your trip advice here, or something that would cause you to believe, or they may have a variation of the TripAdvisor website with a little bit of a misspelling or an extra word or a couple of extra characters or something like that. And you just glance at it and you're not real careful and you say, oh, TripAdvisor, and you click on it. And now you're no longer in the world of TripAdvisor. You're not anywhere near it. You're on a private website now that is designed to take your money. So first of all, when you're using the computer and you're logging on to these websites, make absolutely certain that you pay attention and do your homework and that you're not sent to a scam website. Many of these websites only exist for a day or two, sometimes for a number of hours. They're not designed to catch 100 people. They're designed to catch you. So you go on there, you think that you're talking to somebody at TripAdvisor or Airbnb or HomeAway or wherever it is that you have logged on to, but because you weren't extra careful in where your computer sent you, you're now really not on the website you're hoping for. And you've got somebody who's making you an offer there, and they're communicating with you, and they're saying, well, you know, this is such a great deal that if you want to stay here for 4 months, you know, this property's in high demand. So how about if you send me the first month in a Bitcoin deposit so that I'll have it immediately and I'll be able to, or why don't you send me a wire transfer so that, in, you know, Bitcoin things, once they've been done, they're not reversible. Most wire transfers are the same way. So you send money to somebody based on what they told you on a website, and now your money is gone. So it's really critical. A lot of people are getting snared in these things, and in many cases, there's no way out because you go back to the legitimate company and say, help me, and they're going to say, you know, sorry that you got taken, but you didn't get taken by us or any of our people, so we can't help you. You go to people like Chris Elliott or – You know, Ed Perkins is going to join us on the second half of the program and say, gee, you know, send me to somebody who can help me with this. And they're going to say, sorry, you're a victim. And that's the way it goes. So be really careful. And there are red flags that go up. If somebody starts asking to do something that's against the rules of the website that you're working on, or is something that's out of the norm, or they want a deposit that's to be sent in some way, shape, or form that would be a little harder to be tracked, because it gets there a little faster and it's a little less reversible, be careful. Those are huge, huge red flags that who you're dealing with may not be on the up and up. And if you go forward from that point on, it's buyer beware. The person whose complaint I came across here cost them $17,500. That's how stupid people can be with long-term rentals. And here's something that Gwen Duncan gave to me. She says that cruise lines are really not doing the job when it comes to refunding people's money. You know, we've talked about the fact that, you know, hang in there, give them a little bit of time. But the Federal Maritime Commission official is saying that cruise lines are taking 3 and 4 months to refund people's money, and that folks are having to jump through hoops. So be persistent. If your cruise line has owed you money for more than 30 days, it's time to start going and looking for it. Elliott.org has an excellent list of places where you can go to, places that you can write and kind of move up the ladder, so to speak, at a cruise line if you're not getting attention. They can tell you the right people to write to. It's Elliott.org. There's a link at TravelGuysRadio.com. So that's something that you can – but the cruise lines are really dragging their feet, and also they're dragging their feet in terms of trying to con you into taking a credit instead of taking a cash refund. So be very careful with that. Make sure that the business that you take that credit from is going to be there when it comes time to use that spectacular credit, or the fact that they gave you 25 or 50% more value than the amount of money you gave them in the first place may not matter at all. That makes sense.
Good advice. Yes, excellent, excellent advice. Thank you, and thank you, Gwen. All right, don't forget now, the last segment of the show, I'm going to sit down with Mark, and we're going to talk about what it's like being in the travel business, if there is anything left of it. Since Mark has Sports Leisure Vacations, we'll cover that. That's coming up at 3:50. Okay, stay tuned. News is on the boats, on the planes, on the trains, coming to America. Well, not so much anymore. And yeah, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us today. Let's see here. Coming up all the way from Oregon, one of our favorite guests of all time, been with us for several years now, Ed Perkins, boy, he does so many things and knows so much, I don't even know where to begin. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, our friend.
Well, it's nice to be with you guys, as always.
Hey, Ed, you live in Ashland, and how long have you lived in Ashland?
21 years.
Okay, so this has got to be the first time in those 21 years that you haven't had a whole bunch of theater productions and tourists all over town and stuff like that. Does it feel different in Ashland this summer?
I guess it does. This town is having some real problems because, as you know, its economy depends heavily on the Shakespeare Festival and the other associated theaters. And they're pretty much not operating, and that means no tourists, and that means very little business for the hotels and restaurants. So it's a bad scene here. Although I have to say, a couple of years ago, we had something like it when there were a lot of fires, and the smoke actually closed the theaters for a while. Mm-hmm. But nothing like this.
Well, and Ashland's a beautiful little town there in southern Oregon for folks who are listening and haven't been there. Ashland, Medford's kind of a metropolitan, little metropolitan area there, a little town of Phoenix and stuff like that. A lot of very, very wide, diverse political views in the area. And would that be an accurate statement?
A lot of people call it Berkeley North.
Berkeley.
Yeah. This is true.
So there why are we not surprised, Tom, that Ed ended up in Berkeley North? So, Ed, you've been around the travel business for a long time. You've seen a lot of things, 9/11, a lot of different things that have come and gone and impacted the travel industry. Have you ever seen anything like this? And where do you think we go from here?
The first thing is neither I nor anybody else in living memory has ever seen anything quite this drastic. And it's unique, and we don't really have a roadmap as to how it goes out. But most of the people I talk to in the business are pretty well convinced that we're not going to see things anywhere close to back to normal until there is some combination of either an effective vaccine or an effective cure for the COVID-19. And until that happens, we will still have to worry about transmission and picking it up. And I think the travel business is going to be very, very slow.
Wow. Wow. And do you think this is something that, I mean, you're talking about, we're all talking about a vaccine. Medical experts said, well, gee, under the very, very best circumstances, about last spring, they were saying 12 to 18 months. So if you do your math, 12 months from last spring is next spring, 18 months from last spring is next fall. And they're saying that would be just, you know, record-breaking timing in terms of getting something and making sure it was safe and getting it to a large enough number of people that it would begin to impact the situation. So it's entirely possible we could lose another cycle, do you think?
I think it's very possible. The people I know think that things won't get back to what would seem to be normal until 2014, and that 2011...
2024, you mean, perhaps.
24, yeah. Sorry about that.
That's
senior
right.
moment. it's going to take maybe 4 years for everything to get sorted out, but... probably sometime late next year or maybe early in the year after that, we'll see enough safety that at least leisure travel is going to be coming back pretty well. Business travel is going to be a little bit of a problem because corporations, when they send business travelers out on a business mission, have this question about the duty of care. Which is a legal concept, which means that the company is liable if they send somebody, pay for a business trip and send an employee somewhere, and the employee runs afoul of something like the virus. So the business companies that do a lot of traveling are going to be very, very cautious about reopening their travel programs.
Our special guest, Ed Perkins, and here on the Travel Guys. Ed, all right, we know it's going to be quite a ways out before we even see anything that looks like the travel and the world as we used to know it. There are going to be probably a lot of travel-related businesses that may completely go out of business, will suffer, you know, heavily. Do you know if you had to categorize which particular ones are going to be the first to go, and those that are going to be last standing over the next, let's call it, couple of years while we're waiting for that vaccine and the treatments, who are going to be the last men standing?
Oh, I think the big guys, the ones that are quote too big to fail. I think if nothing else, we'll see government bailouts for them. But the smaller and medium-sized companies are going to be in real trouble. And, you know, people like suppliers to Boeing and Airbus. Boeing and Airbus are going to cut way back on their production. And it's going to be a tough row for those guys to hoe. And it just so goes on. Similarly, hotels and restaurants have not been the benefit of big government subsidies the way the airlines have been. So a lot of them are going to run into trouble. The only saving grace there for travelers is that the hotel buildings will still be there. So if the hotel operators go bankrupt, somebody else is going to come in and buy it for 10 cents on the dollar and run it, which is not a very happy scenario for people who own the hotels, but that's what's happened in the past.
Ed, we're seeing already, as a tour operator, I'm seeing it, you know, you call the Hilton Garden Inn in Elko, Nevada, and it's no longer a Hilton Garden Inn. It's now the Away From Home Inn, and because they've dropped the flag because of the fact that those flags come with franchising fees and royalties and things like that. So it's, as I see that as one of, that's the third time that it's happened, not with, necessarily with Hilton Garden Inn, but one was a Best Western, one was a Marriott, which has just gone to an independent property. So in some cases, it looks like the hoteliers are trying to make a go of it without the brand flag, which, of course, you know, I mean, that's maybe that works and maybe it doesn't. It just depends on how strong the brand had been in promoting their property.
Yeah, and I mean, people do concern themselves with things like loyalty programs, but one thing that helps the small independents is how many hotels are booked through the OTAs like Booking.com, where their properties show up on the search, and if they're offering a good deal, people will pick it.
And go back to for a minute to the frequent flyer and frequent guest programs. Now, obviously, people are not traveling. They're not piling up those points. And even if you're using a credit card, if you've got a Marriott credit card and you're using it to make your purchases and stuff, you're getting points. You're probably not traveling anywhere to use those points. So some people might look at them as maybe having a decreased value. We've seen some of the travel credit cards offer you 6 times points for gas or groceries or things of that sort. What happens here with all of this? I mean, there's a lot of people who travel, Ed, who chase those points and who regale in the opportunity to use them for things and stuff. That's all gone away now. Do you lose that game player set of the travel industry?
Not totally. The airlines and the hotels have been pretty good about extending the deadline for miles or points expiration. So you can sit on those points for now a couple years probably without worrying about having them expire. What they've also been trying to do is get you to use the points on something else. And anybody who can do simple mathematics realizes that you get a really low value per point if you use them that way. So I think most people are continuing to use their credit cards and building up points values and plan on using them when the airlines start flying again. And I think hotels start being open again. And I think that there will be plenty of opportunities to redeem those because, by and large, the capacity is going to increase faster than the demand. Mm-hmm. So there will be still lots of extra rooms, extra airline seats that the airlines will be happy to burn off the miles and points for.
It's interesting. So, it's interesting, Ed. There are so many hotels in the build chain right now. I mean, there are hotels being built all over the country because for the last number of years, those have been an excellent investment for people. You know, that's how you see these clusters of 3-4 hotels going up in different places. And they're continuing to build those hotels, even though, as people like you and I are saying, wow, demand may not bounce back to what it was last year for several years. So these new properties coming online are going to put even more pressure. To me, it appears as though the hotel industry might be where the biggest bargains come to for travelers first.
That you may very well be right. Some of them are already doing things like offering vouchers for future travel with a big bonus, like 50% or even 100%. But a lot of people will take them, but a lot of people won't. They don't like to see their money tied up.
Yep.
So I don't know how well that's going to work out.
Well, and what happens when one of these companies that's issued all these vouchers goes bankrupt, and then all these people are holding vouchers which are not going to be – they won't be able to get the product that they got the voucher for, and they're going to find out that those vouchers, when it comes to the bankruptcy process, are like paid after the guy who swept the floors at night.
That's so right.
Way down the list. Ed, before I let you go, is there any piece of wisdom here you'd like to share that we haven't covered? Is there anything that you'd like to tell our folks in Sacramento? Some of them are chomping at the bit to travel. Some of them are scared to death. What do we tell them?
Well, to be very honest with you, I would be hard-pressed to disagree with Samuel Jackson's recommendation. But if that doesn't work, if you can't stay home, the road trip to a safe area is probably your best bet.
Something
well, there you go.
Close to home, yeah. Yeah, and that's and it just so happens, if you listen to the Travel Guys next week, that's pretty much what we're going to talk about is how you can go places close to home. Ed, take care of yourself up there in Ashland, my friend. I hope to get back up there and do a show with you someday. It's at least it'll be quiet in town for a while with no Shakespeare.
Well, yep, unfortunately, but that's how it goes.
Yep, take care.
Yeah.
Thank
a link
to you.
Thank you, Ed. A link to Ed and his writings and all that he is, well, almost all, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, all right. You know, Ed was talking about, local road trips and so forth. And
yep.
Mark, you have this silly little company that you started 40 years ago, Sports Leisure Vacations.
With silly little road trips.
There you go. And we're going to talk about how that's going for you. And what plans and alternate methods of bringing people onto the road that you got up your short sleeves. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
All the leaves are brown.
Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Travel.
Did you
work
there long?
And originally known as Sports Leisure Vacations. And we even had a song that talked about, we're going places, join us today, the Sports Leisure Vacation Travel Way. And so anyway, Mark Hoffman, owner of a travel company that has been closed, kind of, sort of. For how many days? Gosh.
Last trip got back right in mid-March, and we've almost gotten a couple off out of town, but not quite yet. I do think that by the time there's a trip to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that Clayton is taking to Mackinac Island, and the Grand Hotel there is open and everything is fine, so there's a real possibility that one could go in September. And a couple of other things, trip down the old Lincoln Highway and stuff. But, yeah, it's a challenge. And it's really a challenge because when you think about it, you got no indoor dining. So where do you take a group to be able to dine? You've got to be able to find someplace outside or someplace where they can scatter for lunch. But even if they scatter, they can't go inside. So,
right.
You know,
and then the other obvious and very, very simple thing is that you have to have places to go to the restroom when you're on the
yep.
road. And not everybody wants to pop into a restroom at a fast food, and a lot of cases they're not even open. So, how do you meet these challenges?
And I'm traveling with 20 or 30 people, and generally
yes.
about 80% of them are females, so who are a little pickier than guys when it comes to clean restroom facilities. So,
yes.
yeah, it's those are little things that you have to be thinking about is, where can you use the restroom facilities? Where can you and now also, where can you get your bus serviced and where can you get your coach cleaned? And are you someplace where, for example, people get off the coach now? The idea is going to be to completely change the air before they get back on the coach. So open the vents, open the windows, turn the air conditioning up on high and try to get a complete new set of air. Maybe walk through the bus with an ultraviolet light. To try on common surfaces, just to try to give a little touch up on things. So it's the same. A motor coach has the same challenges as a airplane or a cruise line or anything like that. A lot of people are touching the same surfaces throughout the day.
So with that being said, on a positive note as you can put it,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing in the meantime? What are your plans?
Well, setting up things for next year, of course, and which is everybody has done. But we've been continually trying to – we started a bingo game on Zoom a couple weeks ago with a bunch of our travelers. We've done that a couple times. We'll be doing it again this week. So just giving away little prizes and stuff like that gives us something for people to do and a way for us to stay connected. And we get on and kind of blather for
an
hour.
That's important.
Play a little bingo. We have come up now with some day trips around the greater Sacramento area. For example, our newsletter is going to come out in a couple weeks, and people are going to see a trip where we go to a donut store that makes deep-fried tortillas every morning with fruit-filled tortillas, kind of a variation of a donut. And then we're going to take them out to Slough House so they can buy corn and veggies and all kinds of stuff there. And then up to Auburn to the Ikeda Pie Shop so that you can get some homemade pie and then back home. So those kinds of things to just get people out in a way and doing some stuff. Most of our clients tend to be older folks, retired people, and so we're very concerned about keeping them safe. They're all chomping, or many of them are chomping at the bit to go someplace, but we've got to make sure that, you know, it's just like what Ed was talking about people going out and traveling for a company on business. And about the standard of care, you know, that you have to be concerned. Well, the legalities are not quite the same, but we're still concerned about our customers when they're out there. I don't want to be responsible for getting anybody sick. So where can we take folks where they can get out a little bit and have a little bit of time? You know, we've got no theater. We've got no baseball games. So there's the choices are fairly limited. You can't take people, you know, Blue Diamond does tours of their factory downtown, but they'll only take 4 or 6 people at a time. So, you know, there's a lot of limitations right now.
There you go. Well, hey, are you open for suggestions of things to see and things to do local?
Always. You know, since I started in the tour business 41 years ago, totally by accident. Took people to baseball games in San Francisco and found out that there was a market for that, and a bus driver made a suggestion, and we expanded to other things, and it just kind of grew due to customer suggestion and stuff from there. So always, a business person who doesn't not only listen to but solicit suggestions from their customers on a regular basis and find a way to incorporate those into the way that he or she does business is really missing a really big boat.
Well, with that being said, I think at TravelGuysRadio.com, you can go to the TravelGuysRadio.com website, and right there, if you'd like to drop Mark a note of something that you think might fit that local
you
travel.
You can tell us how to improve this radio show you listen to every week, or you can tell us someplace to go. Not Tom and I, someplace to go.
Boy, you opened the door that time, my friend.
Someplace. Well, I do get emails like that from time to time.
Oh yeah, sure.
Oh yeah. You know, you can't be in the public domain like this and not attract the occasional Looney Tunes who has something interesting to say.
All right. Let's see. We're getting near the end here.
Okay. We should talk about our program next week a little bit.
That's where I was headed here. Next week, we've been invited to, well, actually, I think it was Mark's idea. Mark says, hey, why don't we, when he found out that Rudy's Hideaway now has dining on the patio outdoors, why don't we go and do a show outdoors, social distance, safely from Rudy's patio? So that's the plan, unless something comes up that could change that, but I doubt it. We'll be broadcasting from Rudy's between 3 and 4, and at last word, Steve indicated that he's going to open the restaurant an hour early on that Sunday. So if you want to come out and
come out and say hello to the Travel Guys. Yeah, we're also going to have a couple of guests next week. Steve LaRosa is going to talk about what's going on around Sacramento. So for those of you who have got cabin fever, and Carol Pucci from Seattle is going to join us and give you some tips about traveling around, you know, car vacations, because some folks have resorted to that now. So getting around locally. We'll see you from Rudy's next week at 3 o'clock with the Travel Guys. Stay safe. Stay well. Thanks for listening.
And
dance like nobody's watching.
Dance like everybody's watching. What the heck? See you next time.
He never has the time to